Jets und Tracks
mit Leborang Hanje.
Ein Podcast von CO Berlin und Byte FM.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of Jets and Tracks. My name is Leonie Möhring and I had the pleasure to talk to the South African artist Leborang Hanje. She is one of 23 artists who will be featured in the current exhibition A World in Common at CO Berlin. And so we talked about her art, the medium of photography as part of the colonial paraphernalia, and the interplay of memories and fiction. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the conversation. Hello, Leborang. So nice that you found the time for our chat. According to my research, you always had a strong connection to poetry, stories, and even theater, and never really planned to become an artist, especially a photographer. What was the initial spark that led you to this type of art you're doing right now?
So I was always interested in story and storytelling. I wanted to... So I initially wanted to become a writer, and because I was not introduced initially to African literature as a child, having grown up in a very particular moment in South Africa, sort of post-apartheid, you know, literature at school was sort of Western literature, being taught fairy tales as part of, you know, of fictional literature. And only much later being introduced to African literature. And so I then didn't really know much of my sort of mother tongue. I mean, I lost very, very much of my mother tongue. And so I then became very much interested in stories that were about, yeah, the continent, and stories that were very much concentrated on South Africa, and so I think part of it was exploring poetry, part of it was exploring airtime, and so I really thought that that would be what I would do, writing stories or being in theater. And when I finished high school, I applied to become a journalist to study journalism, and didn't actually go through. And so when I didn't make it to journalism school, I then was introduced to the school, the Market Photo Workshop. And I intended to just go there for 1 year to just do like a short course in photojournalism. And I went there and sort of fell in love with the school and realized while I was there that I could actually incorporate all of my different interests of storytelling, of theater, by bringing in performing in front of the camera and documenting myself and, you know, all of those things. And that's how I actually ended up staying with photography. And that's my story.
In preparation for our conversation today, I read a few articles and found a quote from the Zimbabwean novelist Yvonne Vera, in which she says, "In Africa, the camera arrives as part of the colonial paraphernalia, together with the gun and the Bible." This is a pretty strong sentence, in my opinion. What do you think is the special significance for the medium photography for Africa, and how did it develop?
I think the camera has always been associated with many different histories of documentation of Black people. Particularly in relation to colonization and in relation to be it surveillance of Black people and be it the sort of studying of Black bodies, be it the exoticizing of Black bodies, but can't not be linked to all of the histories of exploitation, to all of the sort of colonial histories. And so I think when we think about the sort of arrival of the gun and the arrival of the colonial, the sort of colonial history, I think, colonialism on or in Africa, on the continent, you can't not link the camera, I think, to it. When you think about a lot of the things that arrive, that arrived in a very particular moment. The camera is one of them. When you think about certain histories, and you think about what the power that I think a lot of Black artists have right now, and how we are sort of using the camera, and the choice of like the sort of images that we're making. I think that it's always been conscious about that sort of history. And I think the choice to also write from my end, and to think about how I'm documenting, who I'm documenting, where the work is going, all of those things, I think are very much connected to, I think, to history and understanding the history of Africa.
So it can never be really free from that, you think?
I don't think it can be.
So poetry, story writing, and theater is still present in your work in a way. You're writing stories by images. For me, it's very interesting to see that you, as a photographer or as an artist, don't only display something, but seem to have a great urge to become a subject yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes, I mean, I think it really has to do with my frustration with growing up, where I felt very silent. I think when I think about it more and more over the years, I think growing up in sort of post-apartheid South Africa, where I really couldn't speak my language, you know, in a moment where we had sort of been declared a free nation, and you know, being sent to a space where we could finally coexist, and you know, I think it really has a lot to do with that very particular, you know, those sort of very crucial years, and feeling like I lost so much of my identity as a Black person that I think the work started on. And I think also then starting the journey of tracing my family and continuing, I think that style of working has a lot to do with that. So that's why I don't really say that my practice is about photography. But I think it's really about the histories of Black people, the histories of the exploited, the histories of people that are being silenced, being exploited, that are being erased, that, you know, are being ignored, you know. So I think that for me is really what my work is speaking to. You know, I think my work is very much sort of concentrated on that. And that's why it's very much concentrated on the personal, and how the personal is very much about the political.
And this is a really good keyword, because one could say that you had a kind of popular breakthrough with Kele Falaka. Its origins are based on a very personal confrontation with grief in your own family history, but now became, through your art, far more than this. When I look at the pictures of your mother, which are shown at the exhibition, I see many photos in which she presents herself in a very confident, always smartly dressed way. And I'm not sure, but aren't these type of photos something pretty special for that time? I mean, I could imagine that not every family necessarily had a camera at their disposal, for instance. So who took these photographs of your mother, and on which occasion or by which intention?
My family didn't own a camera, so a lot of families around that time, actually, within that context, would request a. So in the township, there would be cameraman, would be what that person would be called, who would be sort of on their bicycle cycling by. Either you would spot him, or, you know, or sometimes you would already have requested him to come on a particular day at a particular time to have your portrait taken at your house. So I know that when I was growing up, it wasn't that it was necessarily like we would be going to the studio for the portrait. He would be on the bicycle, and he would be coming for the portrait at the house. So it would be either for a birthday situation or it would be like you would see with those photos for the portrait. So that's why they would be dressed up. So, you know, so I think some of the funny ones, which for me, when I look at them, are the ones which for me are the most odd ones are the ones in like their lingerie. So I think those were the ones that I would find the most odd, because it then means that basically this one man had seen almost every woman in that neighborhood in their lingerie.
Yeah, this is indeed very odd. But what I find really exciting about the medium family photos is that they can be a very unique way of writing personal history. I mean, you already said it in a way. Photos shape our own, or like in archives, collective memories, but they can also kind of distort them. Have you gained a different perspective on your memories or of the past, the reality, by working so intensively with the albums from your family?
I wouldn't say that. What's been the most interesting has always been to almost rediscover. And I use the term characters, you know, because you almost now think about the people as characters. You know, I think so in as much as these are like your intimate people, or maybe they were your intimate people, because maybe now it's people, you know, that have passed on, but it's almost like how they are now being talked about, and you see them in so many different lights. So they just like memory becomes almost, so they become like a fictionality, I think, to it. And so I think I think that's why the idea of like memory lives so much alongside the fictional and to like the imaginary, I think, for me. And so I think it's also, even as you encounter, you know, and even as I engage all histories and all these sort of conversations with my family members, I don't know, there's almost like an element of fiction also involved, and I don't know, there's many layers, I think, too. It's also memory that become quite interesting, I think, for me, that I've observed, I think, over the years, that make also the idea of how I then as I play with photography, and especially because how I recreate the memory through this idea, through, let's say, the dioramas and these sort of set designs, and especially because of how over the years I've also really started to bring in my interest in set design and my interest in theater. You know, I've now really started to think about more and more of my different interests, and, you know, by incorporating, as I said, set design, theater, poetry, all of these sort of different, these sort of different mediums and different interests. So I'm able to really bring in this idea of like the sort of fictional world, the sort of theatrical and staging, all of these different things.
So it seems that there is no ultimate truth or no ultimate memories. What about another big word, identity? What does this word mean to you?
I mean, it's really not a word I use a lot, particularly, I think, in this moment for Gilafalaga. I think I'm struggling to, which I probably have said a lot in relation to the research around tracing my family lineage for Gilafalaga, a story about my grandfather. And, you know, because the whole research around that work was very much linked to my interest in tracing my family name, Khanye, which actually means light. And, you know, I think a large part of my work has very much also been sort of the stay also with the shadows and the sort of shadow play. I think when you look at actually the work that we see that Bishop occupies as the sort of light beam and in the middle, which has these sort of four scenes that are connected to my family name Khanye. So Khanye is spelled in these sort of four different ways, which over the years I've been sort of tracing and looking at what the sort of correct spelling of the name is. So, you know, and so obviously it's also linked to a very particular history of a lot of, you know, Black people also being within the South African context, being denied access to education. And, you know, and so for my family also being, for my grandfather also being central in, as I said, being central to my family moving to the city. And so Kilefalaka then being about also him moving to the city, and so Khanye becoming about us sort of inheriting his surname. So a huge part of the work is very much about my family name.
And regarding your whole body of work and how it changed over the years, did you ever had any kind of role models or people, artists maybe, that inspired you on your way?
I think over the years it's been many, many different people. I think because I don't really ascribe to one medium, I'm able to sort of move between different, you know, I think because I don't see myself as a photographer, I don't, you know, I can say that from a photography point of view, I definitely love Thando Mofokeng's work, because it is quite poetic and directive work, as well. And then there's many sort of theater directors that I love. There's many musicians that I love. You know, so I think there's, you know, it's so varied. And then there's obviously a lot of practitioners that I think with practices, like obviously William Kentridge, who moved between theater and like opera, and like who works, I think, in so many different ways that I think is very similar to how I want to work, to how I work, you know, who isn't very fixed to like one way of working.
Coming back to the exhibition at the CO Berlin, A World in Common is a quite beautiful, confident and positive name or title. What does it mean to you? What kind of message is there inherited in, you think?
A World in Common, I think is also about sort of more than anything looking at commonality versus difference, which for me is a big statement. I think too many times we look at what our differences are versus what our commonalities are. And I think the curator of the exhibition to have to put up a statement like that for an exhibition is quite powerful.
Definitely. And does it make any difference to you where you show your work, whether it's in Cape Town, New York, or Berlin?
Of course. I mean, also the reality is that there aren't as many institutions on the continent, and so on the African continent. I mean, and so the reality is that for most of African artists, that a lot of our work is mostly shown outside of the continent, and so that is the reality, which is not to say that it's a bad reality, but it, you know, it does come with its maybe complications is not necessarily the word, but it does come with its different realities of, Yeah, but maybe framing, different sort of framing. So I suppose that, you know, the questions around having, you know, sufficient resources in our context and in on the continent, different and more institutions on the continent would be really great. But that is not the reality.
No, unfortunately not. Or let's say at least not now. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Chats and Tracks by CO Berlin and Byte FM. You can find a playlist for this podcast and the whole exhibition A World in Common on Spotify. Check it out if you want. And now, thank you for listening and bye-bye.